Hi there, Dr. B here with your Module 7 clarifying lecture. This is the last clarifying lecture of the term, and my really only biggest announcement is that make sure you have everything in by Monday at 11:59. I will be calculating your grades soon after that, and so it is very important that you have everything turned in and ready to go by 11:59 on Monday. I wanted to go over your behaviorist bio videos and also your InnerTeach. So first things first, great questions that y'all are asking. There are one or two of you that asked absolutely brilliant questions. So do, if you get a chance, go back, take a look at other people's presentations. Remember to always use last names of your researchers. I found that people were doing that, especially with the females. And it's very important from a respect standpoint that you always refer to somebody as doctor unless they tell you otherwise. Remember that this is behavior analysis, not behavioral analysis. So we don't analyze behaviorally, we analyze behavior. And also remember that these aren't necessarily people who are doing interventions with kids with autism. So I'm seeing a lot of people talking about autism and interventions, and throughout your 7 courses, you're going to hear this over and over and over again, that these are not treatments for autism. This is a science of behavior that can be used to help understand and help change some specific behaviors with kids with autism. But they apply to all of us. And it applies here as you're watching my clarifying lecture. It applies if you're not watching my clarifying lecture. It always applies. All right, so let's talk a little bit about your InnerTeach. I put up a bunch of videos from PsychCore. Ryan Sane describes each of the contingencies in detail. I will say that sometimes he uses some salty language, so be prepared that you may watch some stuff and go, oh my gosh, he's cussing. Yeah, he is. But he has such good stuff that I think it is worth it to put that up. I'm still seeing the same errors over and over again. These are things that are going to be corrected throughout your time in this ABA program. For example, mentalism. You can't use mentalism. Okay? You can't say that somebody's doing something because they're sad or angry, depressed, whatever. You have to describe things in observable and measurable terms. I'm also seeing reinforcement motivating. Remember that only motivating operations make reinforcers stronger or weaker. Reinforcement cannot motivate. Some of you did point out that inner teaching is a dependent group contingency, and you are correct. It is a dependent group contingency. Let's talk a little bit about token systems for a minute. So I saw some people say some stuff about reinforcement, dependent on reinforcement. That's impossible. Every single behavior is dependent on reinforcement to continue. If reinforcement is discontinued, that is extinction. Okay, the schedule might be faded to the point where it's indistinguishable what the schedule is. This is in real life. It could be that the contingencies are so naturalistic that they're not readily apparent. But if you remove tokens and say, we don't want them dependent on them, that's extinction. Okay, and what happens with extinction? We get an extinction burst. So the behavior that we want to see is going to get better and better and better, reinforcing our decision. We're going to see some inductive responding. So we might see, you know, some spread of effects where, you know, things are going way better than they ever were. Again, reinforcing our decision. And then everything's going to crash. So remember that you have to keep in mind that the laws of behavior don't discriminate between things that are good behavior and bad behavior. That's a judgment that we come up with. The laws of behavior work for any single behavior out there. Okay? Y'all seem to be a little bit confused about counter control. And counter control is not a behavioral explanation, but it's an explanation. You might be able to look at it as quote unquote pushback. Sometimes counter control, sometimes people call it like on the internet malicious compliance. But basically, what you're doing is that, an aversive contingency is placed on your behavior. You engage in some other behavior as a result of that punishment contingency. So that's what counter control really is. So, for example, let's take the first example of the doctor, the insurance, and smoking. So the doctor diagnoses an ailment that might be smoking induced. Okay? Requires expensive treatment. So they send it to insurance. Insurance denies it because it's a lifestyle issue. That's counter control. Then the doctor cannot do that expensive intervention because insurance has denied it. The doctor goes back to the patient, says, "You have something that is considered a lifestyle issue. You need to quit smoking." And for a lot of people, if someone says you need to, stop doing X, they'll do more of X. So telling the patient they need to quit smoking, patient engages in counter control behavior by increasing their smoking. And where we come into problems is when people start assuming mental processes in that counter control. For example, the guy's mad because doctor told him to quit smoking, so he's going to do more of it. Or, patient is non-compliant and oppositional. You'll see these things. Obviously, this man doesn't care about his health, all those types of things. And actually, it's just counter control at work here. So it takes a little bit of the personalization out of it, and then makes it a bit more about the contingencies. Okay, that's it for me. This is the last clarifying lecture of the term. Do well on your final exams, and continue to promote that fluency of terms. And I may see you in EDSC 622. Take care.